Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
The next one we have, Mr. Chairman, is Jeffrey Gross, I believe is the name. Hope I got it right.
Yeah, you got it. Thank you. My name is Jeffrey Gross. First, I'd like to start by thanking you all for your time hearing me today. I'd also like to thank the former pastor, Ken, and whoever else may be a veteran of the armed forces in this country. Thank you very much for your service. I'm a disabled Marine Corps veteran of Operation Iraqi Freedom, Operation Enduring Freedom. I had a IED hit me, and it really took out a big chunk of my pectoral muscle. I also got significant nerve damage. I need no reminder of what I should do for the public service, what I should do to help my fellow man. Every day I wake up hoping that I can feel my legs. So that issue that the attorney brought up, that there was some kind of moral aspect almost, it was really inert to me. But as far as the board asked, the realtor said he could not, the appraiser said that it wouldn't decline our values. He said that the declination of property values is just too hard to separate from the other aspects, such as traffic and such. Fortunately, realtor.com, after a quick Google search, actually gives you pretty quick facts. From an article titled Neighborhood Features That Drag Down Your Home by Joaquin Pan, a 12.7% decrease in value of being located close to a homeless shelter. That's only 2-point difference as being the same distance from a strip club. 12.7% on a $500,000 home, a massive amount of capital loss. Not only is it loss for myself, it's loss for future homeowners, and honestly, the county loses as a tax base too. Excuse me. There are no sidewalks on this property. It's a safety hazard. The lawyer simply dismissed it, said, oh, it's a bigger issue that we have people walking the streets. There are no sidewalks. You're going to have 18 to 24 people walking on a very tight, very narrow road and property line next to a very busy highway, next to a very busy cut-through, as you can see there, on Church Road, I believe it's called. And also, especially during rush hour, on Beaver Dam Road. No sidewalks, 18 to 24 extra people than there already are, plus rush hour traffic, is going to equal emergency services needed. Due to the increased volume in traffic, you're going to have a harder time for ambulatory services, police services, and et cetera, to get. It's going to place, in my opinion, an undue burden on our local police force, our local ambulances, hospital services, et cetera. There was an unfounded claim that the homeless just know to call to reserve in space, and that was the explanation, to just know, just because you know to call that when you're homeless, I guess. I don't know where that came from. The biggest issue is that the opposing side did not address the discharge of their residents, not satisfactorily in my view, as far as their Code Purple, I believe it was called, excuse me if I'm wrong, they noted a success rate of 23 out of 154. So basically a success rate of 1 in 7. So that means 6 in 7 they're waving goodbye to. 6 in 7 are going to go down Church Road where there's no sidewalk. 6 out of 7 are going to go down Route 9, down Beaver Dam, where there's no sidewalk. There's no crosswalks. There's no way to deal with this influx of people at this point. And the biggest point, my thing is, you have people advocating against because it affects them directly. You have people advocating for this because it affects them indirectly. But there are no homeless people saying, hey, I need a place to live here. None that have raised their hand, none that have stood up and said so. So how much of a need is there really when people aren't willing to go out and help themselves just a little tiny bit? Thank you for your time.
All right, sir.
Next one we have is Edward Sutton. Sorry.
Thank you. My name is Edward Sutton. And I guess, really, I agree with kind of ditto with the last speaker. But I just wanted to point out, it's more than just not sidewalks on that road. The attorney mentioned there's a bus stop. So there's no sidewalks, and I'll point it out to you. There's no sidewalks anywhere to the bus stop, which is down in here somewhere. There's no sidewalks, there's no crosswalks on either side of the road or this road, so both adjacent roads. And then in addition, there's no sidewalks all the way to Route 1. So most of the time, homeless people don't have vehicles in there. They're pedestrians, so they're going to have to walk to this location. So I'm all for homeless shelters. I've got a whole other list of things that make me feel bad about it, why it's there, my property values, everything else. But more than anything, this is a meeting to talk about why this is the wrong location, how it's going to impact the neighboring parcels. And yeah, there's just no way to really get to this location from any of the real population centers or from the bus stop. So it becomes an issue of safety, and there's going to be people walking on the roads to get to and from their job or to and from the shelter. So that's all I had. Thank you.
The next one we have, Mr. Chairman, Ron DiMillo. DiMillo, please?
DiMillo.
DiMillo.
My name is Ron DiMillo. I live at 33189 Pier Point Road. I'm looking at it. And for 2 years, I drove a taxi cab for a cab company literally down the street from here, about 200 feet. And at that church, a lot of the junkies hung at all hours of the night. So they were just, I would get down at 2, 3, 4 in the morning, and they were right there. And that's the place I would have to go to and from work. So the temptations is there for anybody who has substance problems, and it still exists right there, hanging out right there, because there's no cops, they're busy with Dewey's problems. So the temptations for drugs and people walking in the neighborhoods, a lot of these people got young kids. We have a playground down, we have a pool. We really don't need this. Thank you.
Okay.
There is a gentleman, and I apologize. Is it George Ladney, or is it?
That was the elder George.
Okay, all right.
George Ellis.
Ellis.
George Ellis. Okay, come on up.
Thank you.
Trying to read the chicken scratch, so.
Hi. George Ellis, 32950 Sandstone Drive in Henlopen Landing. Thank you for this few minutes. I'll try to be brief. I think the biggest impact so far is that Henlopen Landing's already been affected. If I can show you on the map. For those who don't know, this is all of Henlopen Landing. This is the cut-through that's been referred to several times this evening. It's gained popularity by the fact that about 1,500 feet down this road, Shady Lane, DelDOT put in their new substation with the park and ride and some of the other offerings that they're going to have. So I suggest that we'll probably have DART buses cutting through our development as well. Again, that would be the center of our development. It's already crowded due to all the new construction of homes in this direction going further west. To suggest that we complicate that traffic situation and impact the value of our homes is a bit ludicrous at this point, aside from not being the best choice for a facility for people, for homeless people. Recently, I just found out there's word on the street that this property here, this piece of ground, which has already been laid out with some utilities, is Section 8 or low-income housing already. So we've been affected. We can't stop this, but we can certainly try to put an end to this so that there isn't greater impact on the value of our homes, as well as the impact on additional traffic, and as well as some of the safety concerns that have been brought up this evening. So I think the effect has already been in place as far as for Henlopen Landing. We're still anticipating what may happen to this property. Don't know yet down the road what that may be, which again is in very, very close proximity to Henlopen Landing, as well as any of the DelDOT construction that might take place to correct the Five Points intersection. That too is going to have an impact on Henlopen Landing to some degree down the road. That could be soon, that could be later, we don't know. So there's already been an adverse effect on our development, on our homes. To introduce more, I think, would be a bit of a hardship for Henlopen Landing at this point. Thank you.
Next one we have, Mr. Chairman, we have a few left, is Craig Wellow. apologize if I got it wrong, but.
Lello.
You have the floor.
My name is Craig Lello. I live in Henlopen Landing. I'd like to just show you where I'm located. I live on this road they've been referred to. It's called Salt Marsh. Right, we're going to have Section 8 housing here. I have constantly hear traffic coming by. My bedroom's in the back. We have cars going by, motorcycles going by. They ignore the stop signs. We have children stop here for school pickup, as well as over here that they talked about. And I envision with the bus stop over here and this area, we'll have people just walking around with no sidewalks all hours of the night coming through here. I do consider it a threat to the property value. I think any reasonable person wanting to buy a house would consider that. And I'm sure all of you would consider that if you were in the market for a home. You wouldn't look for the worst possible location. You look for the best, safest, nicest neighborhood. That's just human nature. So the assumption that real estate values are not going to go down is ludicrous. That's one of my points. It is a point of safety. Unlike our friend back there from New York, I'm also from New York. I was born in Brooklyn and raised in Queens. I've lived around missions and I've seen drug addicts and winos and everything on the streets. It attracts other bad elements. I'm not saying that's going to happen here, but it's like a magnet. So people know that that facility is there, they're going to be drawn to it. You just can't stop them from doing that. So safety is a concern. My wife's concerned. We don't have any fences on that street to keep people out. You can walk right up to the house, you can walk up to the porch, you can walk around the property. So it is a safety issue for us as well as a loss of property value. The other thing is, those people living in those homes there spent their good money, paid tax revenue, and they're voters. So all this has an impact on everybody that lives there. So that's another consideration. Is it worth destroying the character of the neighborhood, which this would? It would discourage people from moving into the area. It's bad enough we have all the traffic and the horrible traffic at Five Points, which I don't know if you guys are ever going to get a resolve. Every proposal would be turned down. Maybe the best use for that area was to improve the traffic flow subway. If they want to preserve the church, they should set up a foundation to preserve the church. I have no problem with the church being there. They could widen the road, maybe make the traffic access easier. That needs to be at least three lanes there for backup traffic. And with a, you know, another 1,000 homes up the road there, it's a disaster. And we're not even this summer. So those are my concerns. Like some of the people that talked about it, I was a little insulted by the attorney's inference that people that live in that community are heartless. We're not heartless. We've been through hard times like everybody else. Very few people that live there have worked hard all their lives, sacrificed, they're good church, they're Christians, they're Jewish, they provide for their fellow man, and it's an insult to impugn that we don't want it there for our own personal reasons, that to deny other people. But that's my concern and the concern of many of my neighbors, a number of whom didn't come tonight. I hope you consider that it would be a detrimental effect on the character of the neighborhood. That's your job to decide, will it affect the neighborhood adversely? And I believe it will, and I believe the people that talked before me demonstrated that it will, and there are many others that did not come that wrote letters stressing that point, that they are concerned, they're afraid, and they're worried that their homes are going to be put in jeopardy and the value of their neighborhood is going to decrease. Many of us have left bad neighborhoods and moved to nicer areas, and many of us have put our retirements down here. I'm retired down here now, almost 10 years, and like many others, I'd hate to see the values go down. We have other problems that are around us we have no control over. This is something we can prevent, hopefully, and I hope you consider that your decision.
You've really approached everything that I was trying to get all night long. You have said the values, you said the safety, the fear, the traffic. You approach them all, and that affects the neighborhood, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Next one, Mr. Chairman, is Tom Wendell. And certainly want to give all the we have three left. I want to give each of them an opportunity to speak, Mr. Chairman. But I will remind all those that are coming up to speak that we have heard a lot of testimony tonight, and it's we try to avoid being repetitive. So, Mr. Wendell, floor is yours.
Tom Wendell, 17826 Cape Drive. Try not to hit anything that's been beat to death already. The first criteria under special use exemption is does it substantially adversely affect the use of adjacent and neighboring property? I'm not worried that much about prices going down. If it goes down, you know, I don't want you thinking, oh, these people whining because their house is going down 10,000. My kids are going to get the money. They're going to split it up. So, you know, if they have to divide 325 instead of 360, the only problem is going to be it doesn't go evenly into 325. Okay, they'll get over it. My main problem is the security. They talked about some of the requirements to get in, and you got the 30, 60, 90 days. But I've worked in social services in various phases for over 40 years. And some things go wrong. You know, people just don't work out. They're not following the program. You have to get them out. Sometimes it's not pleasant, you know, because you've already been kicked out of every place you can think of. Now you're getting kicked out of the homeless shelter. The five main causes of homelessness: domestic violence, drug/alcohol, mental illness, job lost, and family, kind of nebulous, family calamity. What I've learned over 40 years is that whoever was the driving force behind it, whether it was the husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, no matter whether they've got restraining orders, ankle bracelets, anything you want, they show up. Eventually they find it, they show up. And then are you going to have security like nonstop at this place? What are you going to do when you have to get, you know, the local police involved? As people, this is a community that has approximately 40% who are summer only or weekends only kind of people. So you have a lot of houses that are vacant. So as they're wandering around, if you want to take your family for a walk, you want to walk on a sidewalk. And as already described, there really aren't any till you get into the development. And if they notice homes that aren't occupied, they get booted out. You know, we've had squatters before. There's other developments down by Walmart on Route 1 that have had problems with that. I think it's just, it's something that, you know, it's unfortunate. Working with people for many years, it was nothing better than have somebody come back to you and say, Tom, thanks a lot. If you hadn't stuck with me, I wouldn't have kept with that program. I wouldn't have got that job. I'm on my own now. I got this, I got that. Man, you felt great. But for everyone that worked, there was a lot that didn't work, and sometimes it was not pretty. And that's my concern for the neighborhood, the safety, not the property values. Just try to consider if it was being, you know, built right down the street from your house. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Next one is Robert Steinbad.
My name is Robert Steinbeck. I live in Hanlopen Landing on 33092 East Light Drive. I agree with what Mr. Wendell said and most of the other people. He's not concerned about his property values. I am slightly. I'm not against a homeless shelter. This is just the wrong location. It's too close to our homes and the homes of the children. Mr. Piper said that it could take time to really assess the impact of a homeless shelter to a neighborhood. It appears that we all seem heartless that live in Hanlopen Landing, but we are worried about it, and the children's safety is very important, and our home values are important, and they are important to you also, because they will erode. If our homes go down, they will erode the tax base when future tax assessments are made. So that's one little area to think about. Everybody else said enough, but I don't need to say anymore. Thank you.
All right.
Final one, Mr. Chairman, is John Giesick. I think we've gotten everybody who was sworn in, so.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
And I'd like to ditto everything that was said. It's getting very late. We've got 18 to 24 people that need a place to stay. We had 28 people that raised their hands, and they said they wanted homeless people, and they every one of them probably had a spare bedroom. So we got that problem solved. You know, if everyone here that, I mean, it's being silly, but still, you know, you have to think about 18 to 24 people that are going to be there for 30, 60, or 90 days, and you know, the security of what goes on in a place like that. You know, I was in the Navy. I served during Vietnam. I saw some weird stuff all over the world. And you get a group home, there's some weird stuff that can go on. I would just like to state that during the time that these people are there, is there going to be staff there to monitor this? Or, I mean, is there going to be, how many people? That's never been talked about. You know, you got this group home with a bunch of people there, but how many actual staff members are going to be there to monitor the situation? You know, you can get all kinds of, anyway, ditto. And if anybody wants to volunteer, I mean, I have a house right there on, you know, and I've got a couple extra bedrooms, but not for tonight. So, and I feel bad for the homeless people. I really do. Anyway. Thank you.
All right, sir. Okay, is that all?
That was everybody we had on our list, Mr. Chairman. I believe everyone who was sworn in opposition had an opportunity to testify. I don't see anybody claim they were sworn in. I know that sometimes the board offers the opportunity of an applicant. It is late, but
yeah, Mr. Hutton will give him the opportunity to address some concerns. Then we're done.
In the opening comments that were made in support of the application, I identified three areas of concern, and while there was some criticism of how that was summarized, it was exactly what was heard from the individuals who live in Henlopen Landing. Some of those criticisms were that Henlopen Landing wasn't mentioned. As you know from the exhibit materials, Henlopen Landing is identified in those materials and was repeatedly referenced in what was said. There's been numerous people who claim that it's going, that the location of this shelter would affect their property values, but what you heard, the only certified real estate appraiser from the state of Delaware that you heard testified that it would not impact the property values, particularly the people in Henlopen Landing. There was an allegation that was not mentioned. It was discussed, and in addition, it is in the written materials that he submitted to you. There was concern that there's not enough room there for 18 to 24 people, and that the structures are going to be on opposite sides of the road. That's an unknown at this point as to how that's accommodated. The 18 to 24 people is what would be the goal at the end of the day if setbacks are met. I mean, there's a whole host of issues that come into it. The question before the board tonight is whether or not a special use exception should be granted for this application. There was numerous people who talked about fears of children and opioid epidemics and those types of things. And as was indicated, these individuals will be vetted. And while somebody can be critical of that, the vetting process does actually involve fingerprinting, and numerous of the local police jurisdictions cooperate with that so that the individuals who are in these facilities are fingerprinted. As was indicated, that is the best methodology to be able to vet these individuals. There was a question about this property being used to produce income for Sussex County and the state of Delaware and not use taxpayer funds. What's being proposed tonight is not taxpayer funded. It is by Emmanuel Shelter, a 501c3 organization. And in addition, it's not up to the community to decide how that property is best situated as an income-producing property. Properties naturally develop through the land use process. Right now, Sussex County is redoing its comprehensive land use plan, which will also help to shape that. There was statements that this is a numbers game, and it's most definitely not a numbers game. This is about providing a service to the many people in Sussex County who need a shelter of this nature. There was concern that there were no guarantees, that there wouldn't be any problems with this. Well, there are no guarantees in life, period, whether you have a home or you don't have a home. There are absolutely no guarantees, and there was, again, a great deal of discussion about the fact that there are no sidewalks along this stretch of Route 9. There's public transportation and bus stops there because the state of Delaware and the department and DART have decided that those are appropriate locations for bus stops. It is anticipated, obviously, since there are bus stops in those locations, that people are going to walk to those bus stops. There is a bus stop in Belltown, right on Stingy Lane. That means that in order for these individuals to be part of public transportation, they will not have anything to do with the folks in Henlopen Landing. The quickest and easiest bus stop, and most people are going to take the quickest and easiest path to get somewhere, is going to be to walk down Route 9 along Stingy Lane. And certainly, there are no sidewalks on that part of Route 9. Route 9 has bus stops all the way across Route 9. It's an east-west route in the county, and there are not sidewalks along most of it. And yet, the fears of people that it's going to require emergency services to be called, that's not what is seen. There was great concern about traffic and the 1,000 units at Coastal Club and the other units. That's not part of this application. That's not for manual shelter to tackle. I don't think that DelDOT has the answer to that, and certainly a manual shelter does not and would not attempt to answer that question. As I said in my concluding comments at the conclusion of the presentation that we made initially, the question before the board tonight is whether or not a emergency shelter at the Belltown Church property will have a substantial adverse effect on neighboring and adjacent properties. What the board heard was from a Delaware certified real estate appraiser that it will not impact the values negatively. You heard testimony from other shelters in the area, firsthand experience from the city of Seaford, from the town of Georgetown, where those facilities are located within those towns and right next to, in the case of Seaford Christian Academy, a school. There was discussion about a school being a mile away. Well, how about a school 10 feet away that hasn't been impacted over the past 6 years? That's the evidence that is in front of this board, and Emmanuel Shelter will ask the board to find that it will not have a substantial adverse impact on neighboring adjacent properties, for the church to be restored and refurbished, and for the property to be used as an emergency shelter. Thank you.
Okay. Gentlemen, I will now entertain a motion then. That's all the end of the opposition.
Nope.
Mr. Chairman, I'd make a motion that we table this case until our next regular hearing, since there is so much to consider.
Okay, do I have a second to that motion?
Second.
Okay, I got a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. Workman that we table case number 11,961 until our next regular meeting, which will be on June the 5th. Okay. All those in favor of the motion? Mr. Hudson?
Aye.
Mr. Ricker?
Aye.
Mr. Workman?
Aye.
Mr. Mills?
Aye.
And I, Mr. Callaway, for the previous reason have been stated, so by a vote of 5-0, case number 11,961 is tabled.